You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, oh man. I'm watching the first round of Hearns and Hagler. There are more punches landed than entire fights now in the first round.
Some people call it the greatest fight ever.
It is unbelievable. They just came out with haymakers, both of them, in the first round. Goodness gracious, how great was that? Just totally different. They didn't care. We're just throwing hands as soon as the bell rings. All right, so your headlines today. Bernardrick McKinney out, Shaq Lawson in, Marcus Cannon in, and all you did was swap some picks. Were you okay with, as soon as I saw Marcus Cannon, I thought, oh, this is a bad look with the New England thing and the whole Patriots South thing, and is he Team Easterby and all of these things right away, you think?
That's really what you thought of?
Yeah, first thing. I know I'm not alone. Oh, train with the Patriots now. Oh, okay. Maybe Jack Easterby really loves him. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's...
Well, if anything, it would just be Nick Caserio.
Right.
It has nothing to do with Jack. I think Nick Caserio is going to be the guy. Like, this had Nick Caserio's... Nick is doing what grown-up GMs do who know what they're doing. Not like petulant screamers like Bill O'Brien and Johnny Nobody's like Jack Easterby, who don't know what they're doing. This guy's like, okay, we'll get this tackle now. We'll flip-flop some picks. Let's go get a 4-3 in. Let's go. Now they'll probably try to get rid of Whitney Merciless. I don't know how he does it because he's going to be taking cap hits. He's cleaning some stuff up. Christian Kirksey.
Well, is he cleaning up to get rid of Deshaun?
Well, he's not freeing up money.
He's not freeing up anybody.
He's not freeing up money. They signed Christian Kirksey. Listen, everyone who thinks this Deshaun thing is going to happen, it could happen, but not until after June 1st.
Well,
it might be after June 1st.
I don't know how
1st.
You do that. Listen, we're 2 days away from the start of the now, they're fine as
you
far
know what
as
you
the
do?
Start of the league
ring,
year.
Ring, this is our deal in principle. We will not announce it. We will not negotiate. This is our deal. We'll do it after June 1st and we can cap. Okay. You don't leak. We won't leak. Everything's good. He could actually do a deal after the draft with another team and keep it quiet until after June 4th.
Well, are you sure about that with the slotting of the money and everything else?
What do you mean?
As far as draft picks,
when it doesn't
money?
Hit, hurt is bad. No. It wouldn't be for draft picks this year.
Oh, okay.
I've heard somebody else make that. I heard a national guy say, well, what they can do is the Texans can, you can be drafting for the Texans. No.
No, you can't.
That goes, so if you draft in the NFL, this is how it works. In the NBA, you can draft for somebody else. In the NFL, if you make a draft pick, you get that salary slot money to negotiate or to pay off all of your, so every spot has a certain amount of money with it. And that pool of money is how you sign your picks, right? And they're slotted. And you can go up or down inside the slotting for those players.
If you did that,
the Texans wouldn't have the money to pay. Let's say he did this deal with the Dolphins, but that number three pick is actually the Texans. No, it has to be traded to the Texans.
No. You can't do that. You can't do it. Anyway, so, but I don't know that you do. Any team that you just get future picks from the Texans for are not going to be good picks because they got Deshaun Watson, and chances are they're going to be a pretty good team. So you want to pick in the 20s with the future picks that you're going to get for Deshaun? If they don't do it before the April draft, they ain't trading. They ain't trading Deshaun after June 1st. They ain't. It's a bad trade if they do it.
Well, they could just sit tight and let the money roll off for this year.
Yeah,
honestly, it's less of a cap hit once the whole money rolls off for the whole year. They don't pay him. They don't have to take a cap hit. And they're going to suck. It's like a win-win-win if you really want to know the truth.
Yep.
The Texans not trading Deshaun Watson is a win-win-win financially and with a chance to get a low pick and then deal him for even more picks. It actually is not as – it's not crazy to think that they could do that. It's really not.
If he sits this year, you still got him for five more after that. So it ain't such a bad thing, and you're still in the same situation money-wise.
And even if he comes back and has a quote unquote injury, you're still going to suck when he's injured. So yeah, you're still winning that battle.
Yeah, yeah, you win. It's a win, win, win. Jordan's back. You happy? You happy to see Jordan?
Yeah, I'm happy.
He proclaimed himself completely healthy and ready to push forward, made his Grapefruit League debut, 5-0 win, Carlos Correa homered, Lance McCullers looked great. Jordan said, I feel really good. It's not even a part of my thought process. I'm thinking in my mind the injuries in the past and something I don't have to worry about. I feel really good putting in the work and recuperating. You think you just sit him this spring? I don't want to waste spring training at bats on Jordan, especially if it's only going to be two. I want him to hit a home run in the regular season. Like last year, what did he play? A game? He played two games? He got two games out of him?
Oh, one.
Was it the
he
first game?
Bombed he bombed out homered, the first game.
Or was it two at bats he got? Yeah.
I don't even think he got a full game in.
Oh, I'm just. I just.
He hit guy. The ball so hard.
This guy's both of his, a key is a key to this season.
He hit the ball so hard, both of his patellas snapped.
I don't think that was the
case. Yeah, that's how hard he swung. Yeah.
Man, I just don't. Jordan is a key to this season. Dude's around, batting fifth all year. Jordan's not the cleanup hitter and automatically slotted in the cleanup role is amazing to me, though. Why don't you just put Jordan there and you just leave him there?
I just don't get so caught up in the – like they're just great in the middle. I don't even get caught up in the positions anymore. They've been so deep, and probably just because I'm spoiled now, but I've been so spoiled by having such a deep lineup. Like after years and years of Astros trash – where it was maybe three deep in your odd, and you hoped you had somebody else as Bagwell, Biggio, Berkman, and like Sean Berry, Killer Bees, Derek Bell.
Well, you had Moises Alou for a while.
For two or three years.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. And then it was terrible once it got to six. Well, about Luke.
You had Richard Hidalgo.
Luke Scott. You had Hidalgo for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, you had, there was.
What about Luke Scott? What about Luke Scott? What about. What was his name?
I just want to hear
Morgan Insberg, who got so flipped out that he changed his batting stance 100 times in the postseason. Oh, this guy's not mentally wrecked. Don't worry about him.
No.
So now, I don't care if Jordan hits third, fourth, fifth. Who cares?
So you think that the Astros World Series lineup was better than that lineup? Okay. Okay.
Which
whatever.
World Series lineup was better?
What?
The one that got swept by the White Sox and maybe scored four runs? Jordan last year, 3 plate appearances.
That's awful.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's spring. Why are we on spring training? That's spring training. He had, you're right. He did play 2 games.
2 games, yeah.
8 at-bats, 2 hits, 1 home run, 4 RBIs.
2 games, yeah. I knew it was a 2 in there. Lorenzo is here. What's going on, Lorenzo?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. This is an easily Googleable question, but I figured I'd bring it to you guys. I like to talk to you guys. So when you hear football players are always willing to restructure their contract. And as far as I understand it, most of the time it turns into a signing bonus instead of a salary cap hit.
Yeah.
So to me, that sounds like a major win for the quarterback. So why isn't it, and if it helps the team with their overall salary cap numbers, why is it not the first option pretty much every time? Why didn't we go to Dak and say, look, I'm going to give you $2 million and the rest is going to be signing bonus and we can just ball out from there?
Well, so that's actually a really good question because you have to pay signing bonuses up front, but then you get to spread them over. Teams are putting less and less into signing bonuses because I'd like to know the reason why, because it used to be just standard. Here's the signing bonus. It's over a 6-year contract. If the signing bonus is $30 million, then that's going to be $5 million spread out over 6 years against your cap number, but you do have to pay the actual cash up front, and if you ever traded the guy or cut the guy, however many years left, let's say there are 4 years left, that means $20 million would accelerate and hit your cap then. That's still the case, but yeah, you're right. There's not like the signing bonuses are a little lower, and my guess is because they don't want to have to pay because it's real cash that comes out of their pocket. An owner wouldn't want to, you know, for Dak Prescott, or let's say Deshaun, $27 million, and then the rest are cap figure, you know, whatever the cap figure is. I think it's because teams don't want to have to say, look, let's pay Deshaun Watson $45 million. What if they had? What a disaster now. If Deshaun had $45 million of your money and you had lower cap figures on him, but he had $45 million in cash, it still is going to hit you if you ever have to cut them or trade them. It still would accelerate and crush you from a number standpoint.
You don't expect that the guy is going to refuse to play for you before he even starts the contract.
Well, plus, if
this
you have
is
a low,
whole new territory.
Remember now, so Deshaun got $27 million signing bonus over 4 years. I mean, that is, you're still looking at a, $7 million? You're still looking at $7 million cap hit on top of his base salary for each year. So when he gets traded, that's going to move up. So I'm trying to figure out why it's only $22 million. Mike Florio talked about why it's only $22 million. The only thing you get hit on is the salary, which is whatever his signing bonus is, prorated. That's in his prorated. There is no prorated. He hasn't started his contract. So it's really signing bonus that's hitting you.
812 ESPN 975 737-8037.
But why don't they do that? I don't know why they do it. If we've got a couple agents who listen, we'll see if they send something in. But when we come back, I want to mention what the Saints did because with Taysom Hill, because they're now just scoffing at the league, and the league is going to tie this loophole up soon. The Saints gave a $140 million contract to Taysom Hill, but not really.
All right, and we buried the lead with Justin Thomas winning the players. So we're going to definitely have to, and I can't tell you how many people are pissed right now that we're an hour and 12 minutes into the show.
You're right. You can't tell us. You're right. You're right.
Do you
about
have any
that.
Idea,
I can't
John,
tell
the
you how many. Yeah. I mean, it's the number's too high to count. That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was the number didn't exist. So
no,
that's why you couldn't tell us.
No, there's a number.
Oh, okay.
There's a number. All right. If you want to hear about Justin Thomas's win, let's
the
go.
The former Georgia Tech option quarterback?
Yeah.
He's playing golf
tried
now?
Tried to make a move to a corner.
No. Yeah.
No, golf. No. He's playing golf now.
No,
congratulations.
Great golfer that's who lost his grandfather. I guess you think that's funny. Okay, it's not funny.
Why are you dabbing?
Because he just got you. I had to dab on you because he got you.
No, the problem is he thinks that would affect my jokes. No, it wouldn't. I'm still going to
slow down. Jokes?
It's not going to slow me down.
Jokes.
No,
can,
I'm not.
In his mind, he can still be Georgia Tech guy and make these ugly, hateful comments.
Yeah.
Taking a break.
It's amazing how terrible golf is. A guy who was playing option quarterback and now win a tournament like that.
Yeah, no, that's not the guy. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm still watching. I'm 12 seconds left in the first round. Honestly, how many of the punches between Hagler and Hearns could you have taken?
None.
I mean, honestly, one of those punches.
None. I wouldn't have taken any of them.
Zero.
I'm not one of those people who believes that... You put me up against a professional athlete, I would survive anything. I would die in any of those events.
Hey, listen, that's the greatest first round in boxing history. The people were... When do you see a first round where everybody is standing and screaming as loud as they... I mean, it was amazing. Go find that. Hagler-Hearns first round. Holy crap. That is the greatest first round you'll ever see. Ever. Man, that is just good stuff. It was like yesterday with Justin Thomas and Lee Westwood coming down the stretch.
Nothing like that.
I mean, it was punch after punch. It was this punch and this counter punch. And I mean,
were you standing
for Lee
up
Westwood
screaming?
Yes, I was screaming at the TV, Lee, make that putt on 17. And he missed the putt all day long, Dale. He had 5 footers. 6 footers for par, and he nailed every one of them up until 17.
I'm surprised.
Were you disgusted that he missed that on 17?
I'm generally surprised you could actually get up and watch that because I just assumed you'd be so excited from Texas's Big 12 tournament win that sports and excitement would have been, you would have had enough of sports.
Texas is back, folks.
I just assumed that you wouldn't have been able to watch golf after what Texas did to, who did they play
Oklahoma
again?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Well,
that had to hurt.
No, it was inevitable. I mean, Oklahoma State's never going to beat Texas in a big game because, well, you know, referees.
Cheating. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, never.
Thank you for saying what you should have said to start the show. The egregious refereeing in that game.
Does that shock you guys that that's the first Big 12 championship for the...
No.
Kansas, why would I? Don't know if you heard Kansas is in
and
there.
Baylor's yeah, but, been good. And
yeah, but in no years? No.
Why would I be... No, that doesn't shock me. Texas is... Texas
they've
loves
one of the top
to
coaches, Shaka Smart, in basketball he, and Rick the last Barnes, several years. Though.
And Texas coach and Rick Barnes didn't have a great reputation for tournament play either.
No.
So.
Rick was pretty good. It's funny. Do you think Charlie Strong ever looks over and goes, and I'm not saying Charlie should have stayed. He got 3 years. I felt that was pretty fair. I think every coach should get 3 years when possible, minimum. Do you think he ever looks at Shaka and go, Shaka
no, because when Shaka loses to Kansas, it's okay. When Charlie loses to Kansas, it's fireable.
Well, yeah. And he did.
Yeah.
But that's a little different.
Yeah. No, but Shaka has not been great.
No, and I...
No. Shaka's been a disappointment.
No, but guess what? Shaka just bought himself another 3 years.
And if Shaka, absolutely. And if COVID didn't strike last year, there's a real shot Shaka may have not survived. But
no.
But exactly. It did, so the whole missing the tournament thing didn't come into play, and now he turned it around.
Daniel Ewing is going to... join us, I think, on Wednesday to talk about tournament. We'll help you fill your bracket out. You know, you may remember the name. He played at Duke. He played at Willow Ridge. This guy's played in some big games before, and I had a chance to talk to him yesterday up here at the studio, and so we'll get him on the show. But I'm interested to see what he thinks about, you know, so about how college basketball is now. I remember when we were talking about the Gonzaga, we had first started doing radio, and the tournament was so huge, even in the 90s. I remember we would go, you had to get to sports bars super early. We would get to Knicks, like, right after the show.
By the way, speaking of which,
yeah.
When did I miss it that this turned into a Friday through Monday tournament? And not a Thursday through Sunday.
Well, they pushed back
they changed it.
The
first four to later in the week.
Right, to Thursday.
And I think it's also because, like, Kansas is going to, actually, Virginia, they're all in quarantine. So I think this was part of it, too, to make, because I think they
did
said.
Did this just happen? Because I missed it.
This is the first year.
No, it's the first year.
No. I mean, when did they decide?
Oh, I don't know when they made the decision.
I don't know when they decided, but I do think it's less about TV. Now they're saying, you know what? This is easiest for us, and it's not about people traveling, and it's not about people going to the site because it's a bubble. Mm-hmm. So I really do think it's more about whatever's best for them from a practical standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I remember when it was Gonzaga was with Matt Santangelo and Richie Fromm, and like, holy crap, this team is so much fun to watch. Because that was the true mid-majors then. They came from the 12 seed. From the 13 seed, they were the Cinderella stories, and I remember they lost to Ron Artest in the St. John's team, and we were on the air talking about them. Man, Gonzaga, wow! And Butler came up that way, but
VCU.
You know, later VCU, Antonio Gates with Kent State, George Mason, Final Four.
Yep.
But then, like, over time, Gonzaga became the powerhouse. Like, Gonzaga's the powerhouse. They went from Richie Fromm and Matt Santangelo to now the powerhouse of basketball. And one of the reasons is because they don't recruit one and dones. That's not what they do. So it's a huge advantage maturity-wise, continuity-wise, physically. There's just huge advantages to it. And for years, we saw the advantages of having the best players, period, for John Calipari. It didn't matter. John Calipari was going to win. Then it started to turn into, you know what? Some of these guys now, I think, have become, they're less team-oriented, more individual. So the team we saw with Calipari with Derrick Rose, because Derrick stayed beyond 1 year. Derrick wasn't a one-and-done. Joey
Dorsey.
Dorsey on that team, he was not a one-and-done. Now, Cal had his fair share of one-and-dones, but it started to drift in slowly. Now, whole entire team of one-and-dones. Like, Wisconsin would make it to the Final Four because they had guys who had played there for a while, and Kaminsky and Sam Decker, and they, you know, their teams had played together.
No, Derrick Rose wasn't one and done.
Derek was, that was his only year?
That was his only year.
Wow.
And it's funny, Gonzaga.
When you said that, I was like, no. That's
Who might have their most dominant team. It's a weird year. They're being led by a likely one and done.
Jalen Suggs. You can't avoid it if you're a top team, but your whole team isn't that way. And Duke and North Carolina have been undone, finally, by in Kentucky, where the one and done stuff, it's just, or Memphis, well, when it was Memphis, the one-and-done stuff, just it's harder for it to work now. And it just takes a toll on your program because you have to recruit like a maniac every single year. And I think it's really taken its toll on those college basketball blue bloods. And so when you see, look at it now, Houston. Houston is a two-seed, not a bunch of one-and-dones. Illinois, not a bunch of one-and-dones. Michigan, it's different. I'm not saying there's not going to be one-and-dones or there's not going to be guys who leave after their second year. Look how defense plays a major part. This Houston team, God, I was impressed watching them yesterday.
Yeah.
Man, I give them a real shot of going to the Elite
Grimes
Eight.
Grimes has been around.
I know.
Gorham's been around. Jarreau's been
matters.
Around.
That stuff matters.
It does matter. It absolutely matters.
Because you know, you remember what it was like. And you remember when you didn't do something well and you correct it the next time around. That's the thing with the team full of one-and-dones. It's hard when they face adversity because in many cases, in blue-blood programs, because they haven't faced adversity. You know, Gonzaga really had – BYU gave them a scare the other day, and then they turned the gas on and beat them by double digits. But that's been a team that's flipped the switch a lot, Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but we'll have Daniel Ewing in to talk about that. Now, the Saints, I told you I wanted to get to Taysom Hill. So – I was surprised that Drew Brees retiring was a story. We already knew, I guess, just because
well,
he made
it wasn't
official. And there was one Instagram video of him pushing a sled, and it made people lose their mind or whatever. But here's what is going on right now with the New Orleans Saints. So Drew Brees is gone. Charles Robinson writes about this. Taysom Hill, backup quarterback slash kick cover guy slash wide receiver slash zone read guy. He got a contract from the Saints for a 4-year, $140 million contract extension. It entirely voids. It's an entirely voiding contract. I mean, they can void the whole thing at any time they want. And so what they did, in most cases, the NFL contract's a phrase, you know, that something like that means it's entirely meaningless, but this isn't one of those cases. What is real about Taysom's $140 million contract? First and foremost, the numbers, $140 million extension isn't a real number. It's a mechanism used to stretch out Hill's current salary cap hit and lessen how much he counts this year. This is what we were just talking about cap hits. If you have been paying any kind of attention to past week in the NFL, you're familiar with teams cutting new deals with players and using voidable years to basically move their money further into the future when there is more cap space available. A maneuver that became necessary this year when the salary cap rolled back to $182.5 million. So what's happening is teams now are going to say, okay, we're going to alter your contract. And for Taysom Hill, they're going to give him these crazy numbers. But it's what you need to pay attention to is the signing bonus. He had a cap charge of $16.1 million that's now reduced to $8.4 million, saving the Saints $7.7 million under the cap. That saving means the cap charge won't count this year and will be pushed into 2022 unless Hill signs a new extension. But basically, if you want to give a player more money, you can pay him cash, and that money will then slide over 4 years. And then if you need to trade him or void his contract and the signing bonus hits, it doesn't matter because the salary cap's about to go way up.
Yeah.
In a couple years, it's going to go way up. And they think within 4 or 5 years, it could be $250 million, John, $70 million more. So that finally, quarterbacks can start getting paid.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the deal is quarterbacks won't – a $40 million a year quarterback, it'll be inconsequential. You're still going to be – you know what? You're still going to be – you're actually not – he's not going to kill your cap.
Are we ever going to get to a point where we see teams draft quarterbacks and just say, okay – we're just not going to give you a second contract. We'll start all over.
You mean like Josh
Rosen?
Like
average quarterbacks.
Oh. Well, I think, yeah. I mean, we're seeing it with Mitch Trubisky. Yeah.
But he's
he was that's second overall
one.
Pick.
That's
dude.
An easy one.
Huh?
That's an easy one. Like, well, do you think the Cowboys were ever close to saying, we don't want to pay $40 million. We would rather pay $28 million. Yeah. Do you think they ever got close to saying, we will just look in a different direction at quarterback? I don't think they probably did.
Oh, they had to. With all of the back and forth and yes, and they franchised them. They were absolutely, you got to earn it. We got to see. We're not sure. That whole thing said, we're not sure.
Jared Goff. Okay, I'll give you an example. Jared Goff, Carson
Wentz. Well, they already gave him a second contract.
Yeah, no, I know. But who's a rookie?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay, that's a perfect one. Would you rather just redraft?
No.
And just figure it out again? Or would you rather give Baker Mayfield $38 million?
You're going to have to give Baker Mayfield. You just went to the playoffs, won your first playoff game. You can't start over there. You can't.
Well, 38 is not what Baker would get. But in a couple years, it might be.
No, Baker's going to go for 38. Yeah.
Then that's a loser. Then that's a losing mentality.
Well, if the cap is going up.
You're locking yourself into just okay.
Yeah. Well, or.
That's shocking. I mean, it's not shocking, but at some point, they're going to have to do this different.
Yep. 703-780-3776. Look, you need some insurance against
TGS Insurance. Yeah, TGS Insurance will not insure your quarterback's contracts. You can get that through Lloyd's of London. But what they will do for you, I don't know. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe you should text them and type in quarterback and see what happens. But text the word money to 232323, and I can promise you, they will get back to you within 15 seconds. You'll have a firm quote on a homeowner's insurance. And it's easier than you think. Text the word money to 232323 and let the good people over at TGS Insurance work for you. They can find out exactly. You can tailor make your coverage. I mean, you're getting an A-rated company, and they're going to give you A-rated coverage. But if you want to get more for an RV that you have, or if you want to get more for a home that you have, a rental home, or maybe it's for jewelry, additional jewelry. They can do that for you as well. TGS Insurance in most cases is going to be on average $900 lower than the average insurance company that you currently have. So make sure that you text the word money to 232323 and start saving today with TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
832 ESPN 97.5. Okay. All right. Thanks for that, though. Greinke's your opening day starter for your Houston Astros. They do it now so that they can work backwards from opening day, and he can start working his with 4 days rest. Every Greinke is your opening day starter,
who is currently away from camp for personal reasons. So, but he will, according to Dusty Baker, Mark Berman's tweeting out at least what Dusty said in the last hour, that he will be opening day starter, and expect Alex Bregman to play tomorrow, making his debut.
Yeah, Jordan came back. I saw a tweet. Somebody asked Bregman, "Are you going to be back? Are you going to be back on Tuesday?" And he said, "Yep." Do you think this has anything to do with his Greinke's comments about they've always undervalued me here?
Huh.
I might.
I think it's Dusty being old school.
Greinke's a Hall of Famer, right?
I think it's Dusty being old school and saying, this is what we do. We go at the older pitcher who's established, who's put time in. Because we know as the season plays along, especially if Greinke is going to get different days of rest, it may not matter, you know, what position. I just think this is just Dusty kind of shouting out the veteran with something that is more, it's just more of symbolic.
Greinke's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Really? How many wins does he have?
Greinke?
Yeah.
240?
208.
Yeah.
That's pretty low
for... The 300 is not going to be the mark anymore.
No, that's pretty low for 17 years in the league. 208.
Well, I mean, yeah, golly. Yeah, you're right. I mean, when I look, the last time, oh, no, that's the beginning of his career. Well, the last time Greinke won more than, he won, well, he had a run where he was 15-11, 17-7, 13-7, 19-3, 17-8, 15-4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and a 10-4, 7. He had a good seven-year run. And before that, he did have a 16 win. I mean, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of 15 wins or more. His career ERA is 3.37. I mean, yeah, I feel like he is. He's got he probably won't get to 3,000 strikeouts. I don't know that he pitches beyond this year, but he'll hit. He's going to hit 2,800 strikeouts. Pretty good number. Yeah, Greinke will make it, right?
I mean, do you think of him? Yeah, he's been around for so long. He won a Cy. He's been up there in Cy voting. He finished second.
He hits the marks.
He's been an all-star 6-time all-star. But he's 17 years and 208 wins.
Won one Cy Young.
That used to, you know, 300 was the mark.
He won, yeah, but it's not ever since five-man rotation makes it tougher. But, I mean, he's longevity. He's going to be 37. He's got a Cy. He's got three top five Cy finishes. He was fourth in Rookie of the Year, if that matters. His career ERA is a 3.37, which is strong. He's led the league in ERA two different times, including a 1.66 when he was 19-3 with the Dodgers. He's led the league in whip twice. He's led the league in strikeouts per nine once. He's had some postseason success as well.
Would you start him?
Well, when I say postseason success, I mean 4-6.
Well, four wins. That's you know. Would you start him in game one?
Well, I mean, I'm not symbolic. I'm about let's get this thing kicked off with the best players. The problem is Fromber was a for sure number one to me.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like Greinke had a shot once Fromber is out because I don't think it's going to be Christian Javier, you know, who's barely pitched. I don't think it's going to be Urquidy, who hasn't done that many starts. Lance McCullers just feels like he's a little too up and down to be that. Odorizzi, he's not even on your team. I feel like it's just Zach. I think it's just by process of elimination.
Without Fromber, probably.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes from there. If it's going to be Lance, you know, and Odorizzi, Urquidy, and Javier. Javier's probably your fifth starter. And I think you're pretty good if Javier's your fifth starter. It more than likely winds up. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Lance isn't game two starter now. If you're going to start Greinke in game one, I think you're paying respect to your staff.
Oh, I think your pitch. Oh, well, Lance is a dominant pitcher. It's just not every inning, every game. But I 100% think it's going to be Lance McCullers. And then, you know,
probably.
I think it will be maybe they'll mix it, go left-hander with Javier. So they can break it up a little bit and then go. No,
Paredes is a left-hander. Javier is a right-hander.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah. No. It's Fromber I was thinking of.
Yeah.
That's right. Javier's right-hander. So, well, you got no lefties.
No, you got no lefties.
Well, then.
You go.
Odorizzi's five.
Odorizzi's three. Odorizzi's three, Urquidy four, and Javier five. More than likely. Wow. Odorizzi's a former All-Star. You got none of that with the other guys.
Yeah, but.
We'll see.
Okay, how would you stack them?
I would stack them?
Yeah, how would you stack what they have right now if you just wanted to say, this is our chance to get five wins? 5-0, the first five.
Well, I wouldn't stack Greinke against the other. Who do they start with?
Who knows? But you're just saying you wouldn't stack them against the ace. So how would you stack?
No one knows what their schedule is. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can look it up.
No one in the world knows who their
schedule is. Well, why would you not?
Well, I want to know who I'm up against here.
Then you don't think Zach Greinke is the best pitcher?
No.
Okay, who do you think it is?
I think Urquidy is your best pitcher.
But you're a known Urquidy-file.
I know. You're at Oakland to start your season, which they don't. They really don't have. They're not really dominant. I don't love starting in Oakland. If you want to know the truth, not crazy about starting in Oakland. At Oakland for four, at Los Angeles for two more, and then Oakland and Detroit. Thank goodness Detroit's coming. I'm not crazy about starting in Oakland. Maybe it's Greinke against Fiers game one. Maybe that's what we're going to see. Will we see Mike Fiers finally? We've got four in Oakland. He'll be their fifth starter.
He'll be five. Stupid whore.
I just can't.
I can't do it with him anymore.
What are you talking about? I just called him a whore. What do you think Motti thinks of that?
You know what?
But what is Motti going to say to him now?
If you got a problem with it, well, just face the team. Face the team last year. You know what? He's going to do it now whenever he's in Oakland and has 25% fans.
That's what they have all the time.
Remember when he did that little move last year against the Astros or whatever?
No. He was – what was it? He waved?
When someone lost the ball in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. He went like –
He was like – Oh, he's like
– Where is it? Yeah.
Because George Springer lost it.
Oh, yeah?
And he's like God.
I love Mike
Fiers. All it did is make people even more mad at that guy.
I'm going to get my next shirt. It's going to be Mike Fiers fan club.
And then people try to bust out.
Who's making that shirt? Where are you going to find that shirt?
You can find that shirt online.
You can't find it online.
There's no chance.
That's my I got my one fish, two fish.
Well, you know who could? Now he's maybe not wrong. Mike Fiers brought down the Astros. He might not be wrong. Everyone hates the Astros.
Oh, no.
Somebody might have actually made that.
Absolutely.
I bet you Mike Fiers' jersey sales went up.
See if there's a Mike Fiers.
I don't want to search that from an NFL.
No. Mike Fiers' availability to start the season for the A's could be in jeopardy due to a lingering injury.
Oh, man. I wonder if he'll make it back by a second start.
The Astros play him eight times in the first 2 weeks, so he's out. He won't be around. Hagler versus Hearns is the greatest spectacle of boxing I've ever seen. I watch it at least a few times a year, along with the final round of Foreman versus Moore. That is just awesome. 713-780-3776-841 here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
844. I'm glad you didn't hear that conversation, Twitch. Okay. Did you leave the mics on for that one?
There's no Mike Fiers fan club.
That was aggressive.
The mics are never on during the break because you guys will get yourselves fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's an Honest Fiers shirt. You want that, John? There is a Snitches Get Stitches Mike Fiers shirt. There's Mike Fiers Is My Bae shirt. I like the Snitches Get Stitches.
Are you going to let Salt Bae put meat in your mouth?
All right. So this needs to happen now. So over the weekend, there was a video of first, it was just some random guy. No, it was Friday we talked about
this. Yeah, this woman is with.
So Salt Bae is he's a butcher from I think he's Argentinian or whatever. He learned from an Argentinian butcher. He's 38 now, I think. And anyway, Salt Bae means there's a video that went viral where this guy slices this meat. It's almost artistic the way he does it. And then at the end, he reaches his hands into some kosher salt and then puts he curls his wrist up and then spreads it all across the meat, and it became viral. You can Salt Bae, Bae as in baby. If you don't know, just Google Salt Bae, BAE, and you can see it.
Bae is for before anyone else.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Like he's a babe?
Before. You call your boyfriend or girlfriend bae, but there's an acronym for it now. Kind of. I mean, it.
But it didn't. You didn't necessarily get there first.
No.
Aren't, isn't that what Beyonce's fans are?
Yeah. No, they're the Beehive, whatever you want to call it.
Bay,
But before anyone else is
Bay. Well, yeah, Beyonce before anyone else. Beyonce is Bay. Yeah, that would make sense because they had their Beyonce. Also, John, you can say you stan Beyonce. That means you are for Beyonce and stan. If I'm, I would have to, I have to assume it came from when Stan was this super fan for Eminem
from that music video and that
music
song.
Music video, and Stan is troubled.
Yeah,
that's how hardcore of a fan he is. So if you say you stay like you stan Oklahoma Jose
State.
Urquidy
and Oklahoma State
and Oklahoma State, yeah, but he really stands Urquidy and he stands Joe Burrow.
Yes,
he's
definitely.
Been standing
Joe
Burrow
stan
for
Joe
time.
Burrow.
Yeah. You're a Joe Burrow stan, or you can also use the verb you stan Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a Joe Burrow stan. You always have been.
Yeah,
you're an Urquidy stan.
Yeah, guess what? Greatest athletes in the world. Yes, yeah. Thank you. Good night.
Sometimes you're a Texan stan if
they give them pizza.
Well, if something pizza. If they pay you off
in pizza.
Well, not pay me off. If they buy me pizza, that's
they
different.
Buy you off in pizza.
That's different.
Well, that's your currency.
Yeah, right.
It's paying you off.
Right. Like prison currency. Pizza is my prison currency.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not cigarettes. It's not ramen noodles.
No,
it's not honey
it's
buns.
Not stamps.
It's not stamps. It's pizza. Yeah, it's pizza.
It's pizza. Right.
Well, that's kind of the currency of radio.
Food.
Right,
our currency.
That's right, yeah, no question.
It's not. There's no such thing as, hey, this is Alan Freed with Rockin' Cleveland Radio. Give me a bunch of money and I'll play these songs for you. That's called payola.
Yeah.
Okay? For us, it's just, oh, hey, I'm going to bring some tacos in for you. Can you mention my restaurant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Hurry.
Now, are you supposed to do that?
No.
No.
Well,
but unless
are you
you're
supposed
doing
to bring
something-
fries? Yes. You're supposed to bring fries.
I mean, fries don't. Travel well, but you continue to do this.
Screw that.
The fry thing.
Oh, really? You never brought
There's
home
better-
fries from McDonald's? Yes. Of course you did. I don't want to hear that they don't travel well. That's a,
one
a
of the best.
Fry slur.
I don't want a fry slur. I have slurred some home fries before. Like, I don't need these giant potatoes.
Yesterday. What?
French fries need to be crunchy and crispy. They don't need to be giant chunks of potato. Like, oh, this is just a potato. Home fries.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
I made
a potato, I would have ordered just a baked potato.
I made homemade fries yesterday for the boy. We had a bunch of rice guys, former rice football players over yesterday, and ribs and fries. What?
They eat that stuff? I assume they'd be eating baked chicken and rice or something. Isn't that what rice does?
No.
Like
they were
vegetables
eating ribs.
And baked chicken.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All Pro Bowl punter Jack Fox was there.
Oh,
okay.
Was he there
what
yesterday?
Does that mean to me?
Did you have a Pro Bowl punter?
Yeah. Thank
no.
God. I
no.
didn't know.
Yeah, you
just,
didn't.
I'd have to hear about dumb rotations of his punts.
Wasn't he in Roughnecks League for a little bit?
No, he didn't play.
He never played in XFL?
No, he didn't play.
I had a draftable grade on Jack Fox.
You did?
Yeah. I thought he was good.
John.
Oh, he punted enough 80 times.
John's one of the worst dunkers of all time. Oh, did you have Pro Bowl punter Jack Fox in your house? What?
Yeah.
Or all pro, whatever his title is.
Pro
no,
Bowl.
Pro Bowl putter. No, in fact, I did not. And yeah. I somehow survived.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You
how
didn't.
Did I, how
guess
did
who
I did?
Do
it?
Golly, you.
I win.
Even in your jokes, you're a jock sniffer. He's a punter. I don't care if a punter's at your house.
The last thing I am is a jock. So I couldn't care.
I said that's
Fox
why
has
in your
good
jokes.
Size and strong leg to boom punts and potentially handle kickoff duties, but he'll need to prove he can make improvements with hang time and pooch punts. Fox's size, leg strength, and versatility give him a chance to challenge for a roster spot.
Roster spot?
Yeah.
How about Pro Bowl?
Yeah, okay. I didn't get to that.
You
part.
Didn't? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Weaknesses.
You didn't say Ray Guy, did
had
you?
A
okay.
4 year in his attempt as field goal kicker in 2008. Boom. I dabbed on his field goal kicking.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. Sucked. I just put it as a weakness. Notice he's not one now.
Well, he's not
again.
A field goal kicker.
Well, then
he's a punter.
He was right about him, though, isn't
yeah,
he? He's
I,
not a field
I
goal
nailed
kicker.
It.
Well,
did you get it right that he wasn't a
Did you
field
put it in there
kicker?
He was Rice's best football player?
Well, let's see. CSA Special Teams Player of the Year can run and tackle effectively because that matters.
He did have a tackle this year.
Yeah. Showed the ability to employ a variety of punt techniques. Second highest explosive punt total in FBS.
Mm-hmm.
Has enough leg to crush punts.
Well, he had second
the
highest
field.
Because he had 80
Excellent
punts.
Excellent size as a kicker.
When after you fed them ribs, did the boy baptize all the Rice players?
No, he didn't baptize.
No.
Baptize him with rice like this? I mean, with the...
Salt?
Did he baptize
like salt
with bay? French fries?
No. No, with your, but I did on the fries
your
that I made.
Crispy French fries.
Okay, so let me, okay, see, this is how easy distracted. I can get off. So Salt Bae. Wow, we got to Jack Boxes. You know why this show is number one?
Is it?
You know what it should be? Because we have Jack Fox scouting reports on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how easy it can happen. And it starts with Salt Bae. So Salt Bae is in a restaurant. Probably you have to pay thousands to be in this restaurant where they bring meat to the table and he slices it up, and it's probably in Dallas. I think it is. And then there's a video of him sticking his knife into it and reaching over. And so there's just a chunk of meat. It's a slice of meat. Just imagine a fajita, basically, like that size. It's hanging off of a very sharp knife that he's been cutting with. He stabs it, and he reaches over, and this woman opens her mouth, and he puts it slowly into her mouth, and she bites it off. Her boyfriend looks over at her and then has this sour look on his face after that. And everyone noticed that and talked about it. Well, then over the weekend, a video surfaced of Amari Cooper and like four other bros, just him and his buddies hanging out. They were at the table, and here's Salt Bae, and people are recording it, and people are looking at it, and he's slicing up the meat, and he's doing his whole thing, and he takes the salt, and he hits it with the salt, and everyone goes crazy. Then he stabs the meat, and he starts to put it on Amari Cooper's mouth, and Amari's like, oh, no, no, no. Amari's buddy, no, no. Nobody, everyone's so homophobic that they didn't want a piece of meat off of a knife because they didn't want to be on video eating a piece. You know, and now listen, I'm calling them homophobic. The problem is, I know they, and they know this, they were kind of in a no-win situation. And you have to admit this, Dell. They would have turned into. They would have turned into a meme.
Sure.
If Amari Cooper eats meat off of every other NFL team's fan base, is killing the Cowboys forever.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper may have come off as homophobic for not eating a slice of meat off of a knife, but if he did, it's going to follow him for the rest.
At least when Chris Bosh poured champagne all over himself, he was winning a title.
Yeah.
At least if you want to become a meme after winning a title, fine.
Yeah.
But you don't want, just because you're at some restaurant and some dude of, you don't even know where he's from, is like putting meat in your mouth.
I feel like he could play several different roles.
He's Cliff Travis. He could be Cliff Travis, the new Cliff Travis.
He is.
Or whatever his first name is. Yeah, I get it. You're not going to dangle a piece of meat in front of me and ask me to eat it off. No, put it on my plate. That's where I eat my meat from.
Yeah, I'm not letting some guy put his meat in my mouth like that. No, no. I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
This guy's from Turkey. His name is
Salt Bae.
Nusret Gucci.
Who?
Salt Bae.
Yeah, that's his name?
He's from Turkey. Yeah. Now he's better just as Salt Bae.
Yeah, he's Salt Bae.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what he is.
I look at him and think, it's actually Cliff Curtis, the dude who played Smiley and can play any role possible as long
Dude,
as...
Salt Bae's got 33 million followers.
Of course
on
he does. You didn't know that? This thing
33 million.
This thing's been going on for years, right? How long has he been doing this thing?
Dude, he looks just like Steven Devendam to me.
No one knows that, but like four people.
Culture Map. Yeah, that's true. No one knows it. But, I mean, look at him. He's like the godfather. This guy's so popular. How much does he make just going to events? Just think, this is your event now. You just go. This is in Dubai? Dude, I don't know. This may be in Dubai. Oh, this is Conor McGregor getting his steak cut. Salt Bae takes it, and then
he doesn't put it in his mouth, does he?
Let's find out.
No.
So anyway, he's cutting the meat, and Conor McGregor, he's looking at the camera as he cuts meat. Why can't, people get GameStop, and they make millions. They invent different things and make millions. And we can't even... This guy, all he does, and he's going to let Conor McGregor do the salt.
Do it like that. You got to put it over the elbow.
And then look, Conor McGregor is a grown man, and he's going to let him put the meat in his mouth.
He put the meat in his mouth.
I'm not doing that.
Get away from me.
Get away from me with your meat.
You're cutting meat. Put it on my plate. I'm a grown man. You're not feeding me meat. It's simple. I'm not going to be part of your bit. You've been doing this for years. Do something else. That's all.
Mm-hmm. How much money does he make just running around
it's
at a restaurant? Hey, come be part of something. They probably pay him. A restaurant will pay him $20,000 just to make an appearance and cut meat at your table, I bet.
How would you like your meat to come out? Just go to Texas Star Grill Shop. That's what you should do.
Do they put meat in your mouth?
I mean, indirectly. Yeah. They can. They've got
Wagyu put meat briskets. On my grill from Texas Star Grill
They've
Shop.
They've got Heartland Wagyu briskets going on right now. Wagyu briskets. Unbelievable marbling. So, yeah, they actually do have meat that you can cook at their locations. Four locations here in Houston. And that includes a brand new one at Woodway. If you have a chance, stop by the Woodway location. All four of the locations are great because they're one-stop shops. Their pitmasters there will help you. And this is something that I cannot stress how important this is. I'm going to get to the grills in a second. But when it comes to the marinades, the rubs, especially the rubs, the accessories, they can help put you in the right direction and say, okay, this rub is great for that, for this, for that. They know every product inside and out. And then if you're looking for grills, sturdy, durable, high-performance grills, this is where you go. They have Pits and Spits. They have the Traeger, the Timberline, that's on sale right now, as well as the Pits and Spits Maverick that's on sale. They've got the DSC, which John got. They've got Memphis, which I use. Big Green Egg, which is a ceramic cooker. So many different types of grills, so many accessories. They've got a great spring sale going on right now. Get it delivered and assembled in time for Easter. You can knock out the Easter brisket or whatever it is, lamb, whatever it is that you're making. Do it on a wood pellet or gas or infrared or charcoal grill. They've got you covered. My good friends, with a one-stop shop, only four different locations, for TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!